nice harmony wherever all that was coming from. That was beautiful. I have titled this talk, Tips for the Trip. I believe we are all here because we are spiritual students. We sense and know that there is a way to live that allows us to truly be part of the light and the love and the peace. And so I have just a few little tips for us in that regard. Of course, I have about 5 books to read to you. Don't start throwing tomatoes at me. But the first tip I want to give you is to take a vacation. I just returned a couple of days ago from 5 days in Rhode Island visiting a good friend that lives in a little place called Middletown and abuts Newport. And the experience of vacationing, truly getting away without any responsibilities. Some of you can't remember the last time you did that, I'm afraid. But with nothing to really take care of is a wonderful experience. I mean, it's just uplifting. It's healing. And you may be aware of the fact that studies have been done about people that do it and do not take vacations, and believe me, vacations are a very healthy thing. I think the big study, the Harvard Men study that has studied like 30,000 men for 30 years, says you've got to take 3 weeks in a row to really feel the benefits. I was only gone for 5 days, but I felt the benefits, the opportunity that no responsibilities gives you. It's like you're different, almost like a different person because you're not figuring out stuff and did we do this and I better do that. So if you can, take a vacation, even for a day or two, it will just get out and leave it all behind, okay? So that's my first tip, tip for the trip. Let me stack up all these things somehow. So what I'm going to suggest to you, of course, are just ideas that I can throw out that might encourage you, and if you hear one or two that would work, I'd be very happy. The first point I would make to all of us is that of authenticity for yourself. You hear those of us that stand up and speak in front of you, and we're all just telling you our opinions and maybe the opinions of others. But for things to work for you, to really lift you, you've got to feel it. And I want to recommend, don't go anywhere that you don't feel. You know, somebody could tell you this is the greatest thing ever, but unless it's ringing for you, to say that was good for them and I'm still looking. I believe it was Emerson that taught that we're not to count anything as holy unless we feel it is so. That's our authentic self feeling it. So no matter who it is that tells it to you, if it doesn't ring your bell, just keep on looking until you find it. I am going to read a little quote from Emerson. I have this great book here. Thou shalt not profess that which thou dost not believe. Thou shalt not heed the voice of man when it agrees not with the voice of God in your own soul. Authenticity. So check that and stay true to yourself. That's my first tip. Another part of that. This is Hafiona Daniel and Donsky, Love Poems from God. You are sitting in a wagon being drawn by a horse whose reins you hold. There are two inside of you who can steer. Though most never hand the reins to me, capital M, me. So they go from place to place the best they can, though rarely happy. And rarely does their whole body laugh, feeling my poke in the ribs. If you feel tired, dear, my shoulder is soft. I'd be glad to steer a while. When I first went into deeper spiritual seeking, I recall that when I read what I called truth, capital T, that I would feel it in my body, especially in my arms. It would just, and it was a wonderful recognition that it was not conscious, but there was something in me that was receptive to powerful truth that I needed to know. And I want to encourage you to, if you happen to be the kind of person that believes people a little too quickly, to stop that and to search, to allow yourself to experiment with various voices and various teachers until you're really getting a yes from your response, whether it's an actual nod or it's that sense that you get when you are touched deeply by truth. Another tip. It's not enough to pray. Prayer is one step, but you need other steps. You need to think of God, the all-powerful healer, as being already within you. Everything we practice that has this divine beingness out there is not helping you, really. It's not, you know, as I've brought up many times before, God is not a guy like Santa, only dressed in white, sitting on a cloud. At all. Not a personage. It's a spirit. It's a spiritual energy that is present everywhere and will serve us, will heal us, will encourage us. And yet we must be willing, I think, to remove that idea of this encapsulated God. God is not a him or a her or a being. I think the best words for God is God is love. But even that could be a little containing for some. But it's an indication that it isn't contained in a form, that it's diffuse. And so Myrtle Fillmore again said it's not enough to pray. Prayer is one step, but you need other steps. You need to think of God, the all-powerful healer, as being already within you, in every part of your mind, heart, and body. That's Myrtle. Now, I want to bring back to you your awareness of Myrtle's healing journey. Actually, Myrtle's healing journey is what truly launched the Unity Movement. So I might be a feminist to some extent, but I get a little tired of hearing that Charles Fillmore started Unity and not even saying Charles and Myrtle, but those of us that know the story know that actually Myrtle was declared unable to be healed and was on a road to significant decline sure death from the point of view of doctors, etc. And it was Myrtle's intention to change her consciousness that would allow her to heal. And so that's what she did. She went off by herself in a room every day and prayed and expanded her awareness away from the traditional God that she had been taught about, and experienced this God as healing power that could overcome any issue. And she was totally healed and lived to a very ripe old age. And as happened with her and some other early Unity people, and I'm sure others today, she was, I believe, in her later 80s, and she realized that it was time. And so she went around the village, and she was a Unity village, and said goodbye to people and walked around and talked to people and went home and went to bed and slipped off. So we recognize in her story not only a major healing, but also a life that transcended what we see as limits and what we perceive as necessary in life. I'm going to read every single one of these books to you guys. That's not where I want to go yet. Okay. A little quotes come to me all the time, and I was sort of angry with Gary a couple weeks ago, and this quote just automatically appeared in this little box of quotes I have. And it said, "In everyone you see but the reflection of what you choose to have them be to you. So in our work, our spiritual work, our work of transcending limits, if we're coming up to, against that hostility, let's think about that, that we're seeing the reflection of what we choose to have them be to us. And I know a lot of you are thinking about our president. And he's come up on the screen of all of our lives as a challenge to transcend any hostility or any anger. Me, and not just him, but anyone, he's just such a good example right now. So, and yet, be challenged by action, but still love the person, okay? And all I can say about that is all of you that have raised children or taught school or any of those things can do exactly that. You could say, we're not going to act like this right now, honey, or whatever, but you haven't removed that potential of love or the actual love or the view of innocence for that person. And that's my recommendation for all of us, because if we're not able to do that, we are really falling out of our spiritual path a bit, that or significantly, if we love everybody but these five people or whatever, right? Knowing that our relationship to a divine spiritual presence that is love is limited every time we say, I can't extend love there. I personally have settled on sympathy for people that I see acting out, just like when I was teaching school. I mean, I had quite a few children that had some similar personality traits. And you can love them, and you can, you know, you realize that that happens through pain or through something that's gone on. And how could all of us be healed if someone hadn't loved us through our pain, right? I mean, I'm sure all of us have had that situation where we felt so crazy or angry or whatever, and then we felt the judgment of people. But if someone was able to say, we're not going to do that, but I just love you, and stay with that kind of energy, that was truly helpful. So that's my suggestion for us, because if we're not in a consciousness of love, we are cutting off our relationship with the oneness that we want to depend upon to lead us in all good in our lives. If just like when I was angry at Gary, that wasn't a very good place to be, you know. And I was really glad when this little card came up. And everyone you see but the reflection of you choose, they have them be to you. And I pasted it right on the front of the cabinet in the kitchen so I could look at it all day long. And that was good. One more from Emily Katie. All joy and strength and good spring up from a fountain within one's own being. And if we only knew this truth, we should know that, because God in us is the fountain out of which springs all our good. Nothing that anyone does or says or fails to do or say can take away our good, if we can keep that. Now, one last story about when I was running a strike in Lansing. I and everyone that was working with me, we were staying very positive about everything. And we had, 1,500 teachers on strike and 27,000 students not in school. And we were calling it good. And in order to negotiate that, I said, when we sit at that bargaining table, we're going to love each one of those people that we're facing. Even if they say ridiculous things, we're just going to keep loving them. And we're going to call it all good. Call it good. No matter what's going on, we're going to say, this is good, so that we can transcend it. Because as soon as you say, oh, this is bad, then you're moving into a totally different place. So if we can say things are good, and so that's what we did, and the superintendent at the time, Matt Prophet, decided to send one of his executives off to Detroit area to see how they managed to fire all the teachers the previous year they were on a strike. And we heard of this, and we just said, okay, we're going to call this good. This is just fine. This is what he's doing. And then we found out the person that he chose to go there couldn't convince anybody of anything if she was empowered to do that, because she didn't have that kind of personality. We said, that's who we're sending, Well, that was good. We knew there was no problem. We also just loved everyone. And I can say, when that was all over, we're all back to school, people all said to me, well, are they, is administration being rough on you and mad at you? And I can tell you that there was never one person that wasn't kind to me, that didn't give me consideration, that didn't try to influence me to become an administrator. But the point was that if you do things with that consciousness of love, even in difficult spots, that you will reap the benefits. You will reap it. So those are my tips for us. Follow your own inner awareness. Don't believe anything anybody else. I mean, you can hear a suggestion, but unless it doesn't sit for you, don't go there. And develop your own muscle of experiencing what's true for you, what's right to do, how to negotiate. Be encouraged by all the wonderful teachers and readings that you can do, and allow the fellowship and its energy to lift you up, and all these wonderful people that have wisdom and love to share. And don't forget to help us, to help Pierre and Cindy lift up Haiti, okay? Like, lift them up if you can do that at all, right? Thank you. It's nice to see everybody today. Go on vacation, okay?